Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Are you planning the family vacation to Disney, heading to Universal? Maybe you just want to get out of the cold this winter. DreamStay Getaways has three amazing houses with resort amenities right next to Disney. These are big houses that fit everyone. You're getting themed bedrooms for the kids, private pools, game rooms, media rooms, and big comfortable spaces for everyone to hang out. The houses are in resorts. They have free water parks, arcades, gyms, lazy rivers, athletic courts, and mini golf. Don't burn all your money going into theme parks every day. Hang out in the gated resort community. Don't waste money on Airbnb fees and rent some dump from someone who doesn't care about your experience. Check out dreamstaygetaways.us to see the houses and give them a follow on Instagram and Facebook.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
That's probably the first time Ryan's heard our jingle. What did you think about that, Ryan? It was very soulful, was it not?
Yeah, a little... I'm trying to think of the word to describe it.
We used to be able to use the word to describe it. Not no more.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
So the guy singing and strumming the guitar, Ryan, was an intern of mine from 2006 in Phoenix, if you can believe it.
Okay.
It's a giant scandal. It is both types of sports. Thank you so much for being here. You can tell Ryan Halloran from the Buffalo News is fired the fuck up. That is Radio's Gigantor down there. I am the Shootster, and we will take you for the next hour. If you are new, podcasts are free. They are available on iTunes and Spotify. And hit the like button, you cowards. We do accept super chats as well if you would like to get up on the screen. But boys, I texted, look at all these texts that I got here right before we came on here. I sent you both a text because boom bam, this happened quicker than probably we thought. The Carolina Panthers are making a change at quarterback, not due to injury but due to everything else. Andy Dalton will be starting for them. I believe they play the Oakland Raiders next week, whose defense looks more than capable of providing some fits for people, much less the what is his name again? The Redheaded Warrior? I forgot. What's Andy Dalton's nickname?
Oh, God.
The Red Rifle.
The Red Rifle, yeah. Yeah, Tor was about to say Max Crosby, which was really embarrassing because that wouldn't be Andy Dalton's nickname. But none of us are Panthers experts. I feel safe saying that, but I think we've all watched the Panthers from afar for quite some time, and this stat was getting thrown around X quite a bit by this Nat NFL draft account. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold since leaving Carolina, 46 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. So regardless of what you think of Bryce Young and how he may not be able to see over the counter at the Piggly Wiggly, it certainly isn't the Bryce Young issue per se. It is a Carolina Panthers issue. Ryan, you covered Washington for quite some time. You covered Jacksonville. You've covered Denver during some lean years. You've covered some struggling franchises. You don't do it now. Where are the Panthers? Are they the worst team in sports right now?
After the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, okay. All right.
But you know, when you sent me the topics, or we talked about the topics for this Carolina team, they've lost 47-10 and 26-3. I covered the 2013 Jaguars that started 0-8, and they lost their first eight games by an average of 22.3 points. They end up winning four of their next five, finished 4-12. I do not see a path for Carolina over 17 games to two or three wins. Maybe Dalton changes that. But I thought, I'm surprised that Bryce Young was benched after two games because of the investment they've made in him. Because they play the Raiders next, which maybe you can, you know, have some success in Las Vegas. But, you know, when I saw this news a couple minutes ago, two things came to mind. One is a coaching staff, most of whom did not draft him last year. They looked at the tape this morning and they said, he should have made that play. He should have made that play, and that play. Why is he missing this stuff? And then the second thing, if you're Dave Canales, who's a first-year coach, and you're trying to build something out of nothing in Carolina, is he felt, my guess, maybe he felt that if he stuck with Bryce Young, he would have lost the locker room. And because there are veterans on that team who want to give, who want to have some hope that they can be competitive. They know they're not going to go to the playoffs, but at least win a game or two per month. So I think that's why the change was made right now.
I think another thing in Tor, I don't remember if we talked about this on the show, but if Adam Thielen is fed up with you, like if he's visibly disgusted on the football field with what you're doing, that's exactly what I think Ryan's talking about. And that's what you have to avoid. You got veterans on this team that have played in big games that are talented, and they know whether or not somebody at the quarterback position can go. And regardless of whether or not you spent the first overall pick on them and traded away your future or not, you can't lose those guys. I think that's what we're dealing with here.
It's so odd. It feels like it feels so knee-jerk, probably because it's just week two, but we just concluded week two. But seeing his performance on the field, it doesn't look like he's ready, seeing the game at the right speed. Doesn't look like he's just not physically making the throws or the right decisions that he needs to. Maybe he takes a step back, takes some time. After the game yesterday, Canales said Bryce is our quarterback. So I don't think this means necessarily they're totally moving on, but hey, let's give you a breather, take a lap, and then we'll see what we can do with Andy Dalton. Unfortunately, their solution is Andy Dalton, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Like, anyone can play better than Bryce Young has been playing. This reminds me, Canales coming here, do you remember? I mean, you both remember this, but Ryan, I forget if you were still covering Washington back then. When Gruden came to Washington, he was charged with fixing Robert Griffin III. I mean, that's what he was hired to do, and I think he realized pretty GD quickly that he's not going to be able to do that, and that's where all the consternation happened. Only then, they probably wasn't an ability to bench Robert. I don't want to compare Griffin to Bryce Young, but the situation seems familiar. And in Carolina, they have the ability to say, we can't lose this locker room, we got to sit this guy down. In Washington, they saw that the other quarterbacks are playing better in that system, right? I mean, this happens with bad franchises all the time, I feel like.
Yeah, I miss Jay Gruden's time there. I was already gone, but I covered the game in 14, week two, Jacksonville, Washington, where Griffin got hurt on the sidelines and they put in Cousins. That was it for Robert. So the decision was made for Gruden, probably gave Jay a break there because eventually he probably would have made the change anyways. But, you know, if, you know, this is the number one pick, and they're always going to be saying, well, you traded up, you passed on CJ Stroud. Well, you know, fine. You have to support your guy. But I saw Bryce Young playing the preseason, and it's the first time I saw him play in person. He was so tiny.
Yeah.
And if the protection's not there, I mean, yesterday I read a story from Joe Person, the Athletic, who covers the Panthers. They said he was leaving his feet to make throws over the pass rush. And to me, that is, you're asking for all kinds of trouble there, and that's what they got.
Well, but if that's the case, then do we all watch Kyler Murray yesterday? I mean, did we watch what he's capable of? I know he's thicker, He's got the biceps and he looks like he hits the weights harder, and he's a little bit older too. But is he that much taller than Bryce Young? Is it, Baker Mayfield is not a tall dude. And, you know, you're dealing with a head coach that was, I'm guessing, very much responsible for how well Baker played down the stretch in Tampa Bay last year. So do we think that the height was always an issue? And if so, how do you completely whiff on that? Cause it wasn't just the Panthers that thought he should be the first overall pick.
I think that Kyler Murray uses space in a better way than Bryce Young does, where he can get the angles of vision by rolling faster. He's more premeditated with his decisions to, if something is impeding my vision, I am going to work the pocket, get out of it, and get a clear-eyed view. And that's how I think Kyler Murray beat the Rams yesterday, was by not sitting in the pocket behind all the trees and getting out, getting mobile, and doing what he can do well. And Bryce Young, his whole thing in college was, look how good he is in the pocket. Look, he's dropping this ball in the bucket from the pocket. And now you're in the NFL. There's too much size for him. It looks like he is genuinely still a college player on the NFL scale.
Right. So can you do this? And Ryan, maybe you have covered this before. I'm guessing that it's happened with lots of teams. Can you go away from the first round pick and all of the impact that has on his psyche and all the impact that has on, you know, his role in the locker room and the way the media treats it? Can you go back? I mean, I feel like once the milk is spilled, I guess toothpaste in the tube is the better example. There's no going back from that. So, you know, Andy Dalton is not taking you to the playoffs. He's not the future of your organization. I understand right now we're not trying to rehab the arm yet. We're trying to stop the bleeding still. That's what this move is. But how do you then give Bryce Young a fair shake, or do we have to wait until he has his Sam Darnold moment and his Baker Mayfield moment with another franchise, maybe two franchises from now?
Yeah, two things on that. You brought up the second part I'll bring up. You know, I mean, what Canales is going to say today, it just does not close the door on Bryce Young. They are not giving up on Bryce Young, even though the impression is that they are. I mean, I think he'll still start games this year. In baseball, if a guy's struggling, my arm's hurt, let's put him on the 15-day DL. Can't do that in the NFL. It's a four-game IR. So, maybe they think that, take a step back, fix the errors, and go back to him. But, if I'm another team that liked Young a couple of years ago, I'm calling the Panthers today and say, hey, 20 cents on the dollar. We'll give you a late round pick that becomes a mid round pick if he starts games this year. And just see if they'll panic that way and just move on from them. Because right now the Panthers, what their plan A should be right now is number one pick in next year's draft, start over a quarterback.
And here's one of the pictures Tor was talking about. And you're right. Like what was the one of him like training camp this year? He showed up wearing like a ringer tee and a backpack, and he looked like a seventh grader on his way to middle school. You're right. It's a different look than even Kyler's short.
Kyler's like thicker. Yeah,
he looks like a football. He does not. I mean, I hate to say it, Bryce Young does not look like a football player here.
He made enough good flashy throws on a good offense in Alabama, and maybe he just duped everybody.
You're saying he's a bum. You're not saying it's a Panthers problem. You're saying he's a bum.
I think he might be. He's on bum watch. I'm not ready to call him a bum, but there's I haven't seen the flashes. I haven't seen this year it hasn't been okay. If we do this part of the game plan where he's excelling more, then maybe we'll have more success on offense.
Right.
I'm not seeing any flashes coming out of him.
Who would you rather his career would you rather resuscitate, Trey Lance or Bryce Young?
Trey Lance.
I mean, he didn't look good. He hasn't. All I've seen from him is the ability. Is Bryce Young showed as much as Justin Fields did over those 8-9 starts when he was running all over the place for the Bears? That what did they get? It was the fifth round pick. They gave up nothing for Justin Fields. What did Sam Howell? I mean, how many of these quarterbacks did they already abandon? Like from around this era, they're moving away from these guys very, very quickly in this league now.
Well, and the concern is, and you watch Caleb Williams last night in Chicago, the concern is these young guys don't know how to get their own way yet. That's how you get broken in half. Related to Washington, that's what happened with Griffin as a rookie.
Right.
He got injured, never really got his form back. But Trey Lance, I would pick neither, but maybe there's something there physically with Lance. And what you hope for if you're Lance's camp is that he is learning on the job while not playing in Dallas. Maybe that's what Bryce Young needs. But I mean, this is, I mean, I think he'll, like I said earlier, I think he'll start games this year for Carolina, but he's not in their future after today.
I think what you got to root for is you got to root for that the Pittsburgh Steelers are interested in you, because if you can go someplace that runs the football and has a great head coach and plays defense, I mean, Justin Fields doesn't look like a world beater right now, but they're 2-0 and they're doing what the Steelers do, which is winning enough games to keep them in playoff contention at all times. Like, maybe there's an environment. If you go, Stetson Bennett, right? If Stetson Bennett is someplace trying to play quarterback for, I don't know, fill in for the Jacksonville Jaguars, I say he's got no shot, but he's behind Matt Stafford. He's got Sean McVay. He's got a situation where it's like, if he's going to succeed, it will happen because he found the right spot. And whatever the opposite of that is the Carolina Panthers. I did want to show you guys this. I was following. I just started, hey, everybody. Hey, how you doing? It was,
yeah, this, I didn't want to see that.
Well, it's too late, brother. A lot of face. This is Joe Person, who covers the Panthers. And I was just going through his timeline yesterday, and it was the most depressing. And it's not even the fans wearing the bags and booing and saying, you know, relocate us. It's just the mundane 2-for-22 on third, Adam Thielen yelling on the sideline after third. It's just everything that was unfolding was worse than the next. How do you keep this thing from spitballing? How do you stop this? I remember some of those afternoons where I had to keep talking about Washington and they kept losing and they kept getting worse. And it's like, how the fuck are we going to do this for another 6, 7, 8 weeks? This is week two that we just wrapped up. How are the Panthers going to keep people buying popcorn and beers in that building?
Well, they're not.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They can't. It's in the NFL culture, the Panthers have to be 30 seconds in watchability, enjoyment from the fan base, desire to go to a game. Who are you going to? I don't know who I would want to go and see at the Panthers game. J.C. Horn playing cornerback. He's probably the best player that they have on the team right now.
The Panthers have dropped their first two games by a combined 60 points. That's the second worst differential in consecutive losses in franchise history. Go ahead, Ryan. I mean, interrupt you there.
They have 12 punts and 18 first downs.
Jesus. How about Caleb Williams' dumbass saying, yeah, you guys aren't going to have to punt much. And then they punt every time the Bears walk out on the field. He looks worse than Justin Fields in that offense thus far. And I don't know how much of it's Eberflus. That line didn't look very good last evening, but I'm watching that game and there really is no difference. I mean, endless stats. I'll pull some up here if people want to see it, about the fact that if you compare what Justin Fields was doing in Chicago for his first couple of starts, at least they're trusting. Here's the thing about Fields. They didn't trust him to throw the football, and they still went out there and looked like that. They're letting Caleb Williams throw the ball 30 times a game, 35 times, way more opportunities, and he still looks like garbage. That may be a bigger mess than the Panthers, because nothing is ever expected of the Panthers. People thought that Caleb Williams might lead the Bears to the NFC Championship game in his rookie year.
Well, I thought the Bears would be a contender for that seventh spot, which means you go 9-8. They're playing well enough defensively, but your leading running back has 24 carries for 48 yards. Right. If you can't run it, you can't do your play action. You can't give your quarterback some time, the deception. And right now, last night, he was their best rusher because of scrambles and stuff. I supported them going with Williams and moving on from Fields. You know, Keenan Allen not playing last night, that impacted, I think, the passing game. But I think Williams, one thing they got to sit down with him this week and with the offensive coaches is, okay, you got to start using more six-man protections, which means you probably got to use more 12 personnel with two tight ends, maybe more, and then maybe move the pocket a little bit. But, I mean, he took some shots last night where he didn't have a chance in the pocket. That's concerning.
What did you think of him last night, Tor?
Yeah, it's the whole bit going right now with him is this isn't the Pac-12 anymore. You can't scramble around against these guys. They're going to be able to track you down. Like that's kind of been the most popular take. I think he's been given too much freedom in the offense. Just you can do no wrong. go out there and sling it. That feels a little arrogant of the Bears to decide to do, just because he is uber talented with a big arm and an NFL body. It doesn't feel like they're actually structuring a game plan for him. The deep route concepts, I don't think, are working. The check downs are in the flat seem lame. I need intermediate work. I need to see tight ends catching something vertically on a seam. The mix doesn't feel healthy for Williams or the Bears through two games.
Caleb Williams 3.0 net yards per attempt is the worst for any quarterback in weeks 1 and 2 in the last 10 years. And I think why it's also such a big deal is you can't control what, you know, guys like us that are just sitting around talking about what they're doing are going to project for you. But there was a lot of shit talked, and then I don't care if he wears fingernail polish. I don't care if he's talking about how stunning his outfit is going to be at the draft. But you know, when people do care is when you aren't playing well. And then all of that stuff comes. Deion Sanders, we're seeing that now with Colorado. You know, all that stuff stops being fun and, you know, just dullards on a sports talk radio show complaining about it when you're not playing well. And there's a lot of that crap with him as well. There's somebody in the chat talking about the Utah game again and how he doesn't have the mental toughness. It's like, well, if they're 2-0 right now, we're not worrying about the way he looked at Utah or if he collapsed into his mom's arms crying or whatever the hell happened.
I mean, the Texans are a legit team. I think they have a much the
Texans are awesome defense. I think
I mean the Danielle Hunter addition is already looked like it paid for itself, and then Will Anderson coming into his own in year two is great. I mean, that move last year was shocking but impressive so far. So I'm not on a fever pitch to sell on the Caleb Williams hype yet, because I think the Texans just flexed their muscles all game last night.
Bears defense kept them in it.
Yeah, I'm with you on Caleb Williams. I think he is going to be good, but at this stage, two games in his career, you have to save him from himself. That comes down to Shane Waldron as the offensive coordinator. You know, the other position coaches. I mean, are they counting on Odunze to make plays with rookie receivers? Justin Jefferson's the exception. That's going to be a transition for a rookie receiver. Maybe they get Allen back. DJ Moore is averaging like 8 yards a catch. You have to throw downfield because, yes, you're going to throw an interception, but maybe you get a penalty. Maybe you get a tip ball in an explosive play that way. So what you saw last night, and I agree with you, they ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw last night. Houston's going to do that to a lot of teams.
Odunze got hit in the hands with the football in the end zone. He's had already a couple of questionable things happen to him. Keenan Allen's not playing for that team. And again, they have no semblance of a rushing attack. They are putting the cart way before the horse as far as where they should be right now. And CJ Stroud had 380 yards in his second start. I mean, the comparison between those two is no comparison right now. The comparison is between Caleb Williams and Justin Fields. Jorge Gonzalez, $1.99. Thank you for the super chat. Ready for you to kill my Cowboys. Embarrassing. It is embarrassing, but I don't think anyone would have predicted the Saints scoring 90 points in the first 2 weeks. I mean, it's embarrassing, but I think Tor just said they ran into the buzzsaw down there in Houston. Running into the Saints in weeks 1 and 2 is running into a buzzsaw. I had no idea that they were going to be the greatest show on turf. I don't think anybody could have predicted that with a new offensive coordinator or not.
They look good. I hate it. They're catching teams. I think they genuinely caught Dallas by surprise yesterday. Going back, looking at it, Dallas was just hapless, and I think they got figured out. They got figured out early. What the Browns didn't do, the Saints did, which was throw the ball deep and work inside, and then we're going to get our running backs involved, and this is how we're going to beat this Cowboys defense. Big bad Mozzie Smith, great pick, Jerry. Awful pick. He is getting carved up. There's no internal pressure for Dallas. The Dexter Lawrence, he's Mr. Irrelevant in that game. And I think Micah got shut down. So the Saints are giving the new 2024 blueprint on how to beat Dallas this season.
Yeah, well, they also, you could shut anybody down if you're going to score 91 points in the first two games. Oh, just the second team to do that since the 1970 merger. I'm sure you guys saw the stat. The last one was the 2009 Saints that ended up going to the Super Bowl. I don't trust Derek Carr to be able to do this all season, Ryan O'Halloran. Am I just being a fucking hater? Like, I just, what I know of him. And then Alvin Kamara, I thought he was disgruntled. I thought he wanted a new deal. And now he's scoring 4 touchdowns a game. It can't just be Kubiak. right? How is this all coming together the way it has the first 2 weeks?
Well, I agree with you on Carr because his body work suggests there's going to be some dips in play. And quite frankly, a lot of dips in play.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you have the new coordinator bump. But one thing, I didn't watch a ton of Saints-Cowboys yesterday because it got a hand so quick. And, you know, Micah Parsons was playing undisciplined. Like, first play of the game, he didn't play the edge. They gained 8 yards on a 2nd and 9. A couple of plays I saw, they hit him on shallow cross, was when they're in man coverage. So I wonder if Mike Zimmer did any kind of adjustment. The Saints will come back down to earth. You know, they won't keep this pace, but, you know, them and Tampa Bay now, both 2-0 in that NFC South, pretty interesting division.
When do the Saints play the Chiefs? I feel like that's coming up in a primetime game actually pretty soon. That would be some fireworks. You're looking that up, Tori. It'll be just 35 minutes, Ryan. Chill out. David Marksberry, $5 super chat. Thank you so much. Thanks for the great show, guys. Currently in West Virginia listening for Bangers. And David, you're a big Colts fan. I know that. You should be fucking listening for touchdowns thrown by your quarterback that everybody can't keep it in their pants for after what happened on Sunday. Thank you so much for the super chat. He's bringing me back some Bud Select Tour from Indianapolis. I can't give him any shit.
That's very kind of him. Saints play the Chiefs in Week 5.
Yeah, give me that game, huh? I mean, that's and by the way, I the fact that the Chiefs that game last night, I think I was so disgusted, boys, by Ja'Marr Chase's antics, and him throwing that fucking hissy fit for not a face mask, which I can understand, but he thought there was a hip drop tackle, which now you get on the coverage today and the NFL will not enforce their hip drop. Everybody that I knew that heard about the hip drop tackle said, this is going to be a difficult one for them to interpret. And oh, by the way, do we really want to, I know you want to protect players, but now we're giving more power to the refs. I was against it, but Ja'Marr Chase freaking out and Joe Burrow trying to fucking take him away from that ref and him pushing that team all the way back. I think that if I were the head coach of a football team or an offensive coordinator, I would line up in the wishbone. I would run the ball 3 times and I would punt just because I have so fucking had it with histrionics from wide receivers, no matter how talented they are. I was disgusted by that whole turn of events.
Well, Chase's day started with reports that he was, you know, didn't feel appreciated.
Sure.
You know, I didn't get my new deal, so I'm just going to play out the year. So you can, you know, what I saw that outburst as was he's just frustrated with everything that's going on with him and the Bengals right now, personally. But I mean, couple things on the hip drop is the referees make a tour of each team during camp and they speak to the media. So when they were at Bills camp, they said it's a 4-point. They have to, the penalty has to meet 4 criteria. You're not going to call that live. And that's what the referee said. He goes, hey, this is going to be a thing that's going to be handled by New York in the term of a fine later each week. So, you know, they weren't putting pressure on the officials to call that live because it's such a tough play. But, you know, the language he had to use to get flagged, I mean, had to be really bad. And because you don't see flags for verbal abuse ever in this league.
Well, he went, I think it was Romo on the, who was on the call? I forget. I've watched so many games. He made mention of the fact, it's like, okay, you're allowed to, they don't want you showing up the refs, but he chewed him out. And then Burrow comes and removes him, and then he goes back for round 2, and that's when the flag comes out. It's like, you even got away with bitching and moaning and cursing, and it still wasn't enough. And he's spiking the helmet on the sidelines, and it was subjective at best as to whether or not that was a hip drop, in my opinion. And for him to act that way, I think you're right. I think that's kitchen sinking about the fact that he's seeing all these other wide receivers with bags the size of a planet, and he hasn't gotten his yet because he plays for the cheap-ass Cincinnati Bengals.
The most frustrating part about that whole sequence was not recognizing the moment that you're in, where it's a huge matchup for everybody involved. It's the Chiefs and the Bengals. This is a new age rivalry. You have both players on each, or players on both teams bawling the hell out. Crazy interception, crazy fumble, crazy touchdowns. Joe Burrow's waking up, finding Andre Ishivash for 2 touchdowns. Like, a lot of the Bengals team was stepping up for the occasion and treating it like a playoff game in week 2, which right. It is. And Ja'Marr Chase losing it in that moment. Maybe it's a passion of the moment. I can't believe that just happened. Look how much this game means to me. But if it means that much, then you have to be ready to cycle back to the next play and make a better play. That's where the true maturity of football comes in. You get emotional after every play. You do. So you either get punked, you have a good win, or and then you have to just completely reset and get back to the line of scrimmage for the next one.
The reason why I love the way that game ended as much as I did is because it shows you exactly who those two franchises are. Is the Kansas City Chiefs will figure out a way to win a game like that and not shoot themselves in the foot. And the Cincinnati Bengals are good enough to be in Kansas City slinging it out with a lead in the fourth quarter, but they will shoot themselves in the foot, or they will start slow, or they will do. They're just not good enough to get it done. I think I put them squarely in the Buffalo Bills category now. Buffalo's better than I thought they were going to be this year. Ryan, we talked about it when you came on the show in the preseason, that, you know, there was this sense that the Jets are gonna, it's their time now. Look at the Tua, and they got all these weapons, like somebody's gonna step up. No. Buffalo is the class of that division and will remain it, but they're good enough to do that. They're not good enough to take down the Chiefs, and the Cincinnati Bengals just reinforced that identity to me last night.
Well, and the Bengals are 0-2 again, and both losses are in the conference. That's why I think they're in trouble, and Jacksonville's in trouble, 0-2, 0-2 in the AFC, and also Baltimore. Two teams in this seven-team format have started 0-2, made the playoffs, so it's an uphill climb. I've disagreed with the way Zach Taylor has handled the Bengals in the preseason since he got there. He doesn't play anybody. These guys go into week one, they are rusty, they are probably not in great shape, so they lose to a New England team. Kansas City plays their guys in the preseason. They get calloused up a little bit. Yes, they had a rest advantage playing from the Thursday to the Sunday, but you know, you just throughout that fourth quarter on Sunday or yesterday, it's okay. What are the Bengals going to do to punt this game away? Well, right, they did a fourth down penalty where the guy didn't need to touch the receiver. The ball is going over his head.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Why don't you want to tell Ryan of your affinity for Trevor Lawrence, since he brought up the Jacksonville Jaguars Gigantor?
Got some stuff to say about him, too.
Yeah. I mean, Buffalo's got Jacksonville next week, Ryan. I'm certain you know this. Do you have any fear of them at all? Is there anything about this Jacksonville Jaguars team that makes you even the least bit concerned?
No. The only thing that is Urban Meyer won two games. One of them was against Buffalo. Then last year in London, the Jaguars had no business beating the Bills. They handled them. So that is the only reason. I watched the Jaguars offensive tape this morning. They ran two personnel groupings the whole game. They ran 11 and they ran 12. Trevor Lawrence, if they gave up five sacks, I would have blamed Trevor Lawrence for two of them. He held the ball for 4.5 seconds on one sack, and then the safety got to throw it away. You have to throw at somebody so you don't get the safety for intentional grounding. So what you see from the Jaguars is not a lot of creativity. They didn't use motion hardly at all. They were way too late getting Brian Thomas going. They can't run it, and they can't really protect. So, I mean, to me, the Bills going on a Monday night, you've had 11 days off, going there, kick their ass, and then you got the next three on the road, at Baltimore on a Sunday night, at Houston in week five, at the Jets on a Monday night. So that's an important game for the Bills to start 3-0 because of what's coming up.
Go ahead, Tor.
Lawrence just does not look like he cares when he's playing. He's like a statue in the pocket at times, and then he'll make a shockingly good throw, and it doesn't look like it affects. Maybe I don't want my quarterback getting too high or too low, but I need to see something. I need to see that you care. And then this goes back to a concern that I think is becoming more and more valid in the pre-draft process for Trevor Lawrence, where he said, yeah, football isn't everything that I care about. If win or lose, you know, I'm more than football. I kind of want my quarterback, all he's thinking about is football. All the greats you hear, first one in, last one out, student of the game, comes overly prepared. I don't think Lawrence is that guy.
What would be encouraging? Yeah. It's his post-game presser yesterday. For the first time, he did piss some fire. He said, "We suck right now. We thought we had a good game plan. Obviously, we didn't." I mean, that's pretty telling. So if I'm him, hey, I got this new contract. I got the owner on my side. I start being more assertive behind the scenes, saying, this is what I like. This is what we should do. And what you saw yesterday when watching that is, okay, where's the presence? You know, this is your fourth year. You should know when to get out of the way. And what was most concerning, if you're a Jaguars fan or a coach, is a couple of those plays, he left the pocket without any pressure. And that means you're seeing ghosts.
All right, you brought up the Bills. They played on Thursday, but since that's who you cover, Ryan, let's at least discuss the fact that they're 20-5 versus that division since 2020. Allen's record now against the Dolphins is 12-2. That was their fifth straight win on Thursdays. They, including this, is postseason wins over Miami. Fifth straight win over the Miami Dolphins. I want to get to what should happen with Tua. I think that can be a big segment here today with us, because there's crazy shit floating around out there, including the fact that Tom Brady owns a house in Miami, so that means he should quarterback the Miami Dolphins. I don't hate the idea. I just don't think it's necessarily going to happen. The Bills' dominance and their demise was greatly over. Their dominance was not over-exaggerated. Their demise was. Did we expect Buffalo to look this strong and for the Jets and for Miami? I mean, Miami's the concussion, their season now is completely in flux. I think Aaron Rodgers starts looking like Aaron Rodgers week 6, 7, and 8 if everybody stays healthy, but it might not be enough by then. Is this what you expected, Ryan, was for Buffalo to look this good the first 2 weeks and to distance themselves already from the rest of the division?
Yeah, maybe kind of. That Arizona win, 34-28.
Looks good now.
A little better today. And they gave up, they gave up 17 points to that Arizona offense, gave up a kickoff return touchdown. So defensively, the Bills are taking it away. They're rushing the quarterback, but they keep losing guys. Terrell Bernard is going to be out a month. They're already out with Taron Johnson, maybe one of the best top two or three nickels in the league. And obviously Matt Milano out for another couple months. Probably the best Bills defensive player. So, the fact that you got Von Miller going a little bit, that's encouraging. Greg Rousseau, same thing on the other edge. Then on offense, I still think they're finding their way a little bit. They're terrible on third down, but they're not turning it over. And, James Cook, this is Josh Allen has 42 pass attempts through two games, the fewest of any weeks 1 and 2 of his career. So they're leaning on that run game. And I would be encouraged, if they're 3-0, take care of the Jaguars, and then you really get into the meat of your schedule. So, the Jets, I agree with you. Rodgers looked better yesterday than he did last week. Losing Jermaine Johnson to a torn Achilles on defense is going to hurt. Tua was terrible before he got hurt on Thursday night. So that's a concern.
Tor, do you buy the Patriots are 2-0. I didn't even mention them. I just realized that.
1-1.
What's that?
They lost to Seattle.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. But they were in that game until the very end. And I believe it went to overtime and the Seahawks won on a field goal in overtime. Am I correct? That's a team, though, that is going to be in games. We talked about this past week. They're going to run the football. They're going to be physical. And they're going to play hard. And nobody told them that they're supposed to be down with the Panthers and the Giants and the Dogwater franchises. I don't know. I feel like I just overlooked them. I wonder if we should be overlooking them now, or if they showed us they're going to be tenacious.
The Patriots are going to be the team where you're looking at your team just missing the playoffs and you're thinking, how did we lose to the Patriots in week 6? Right. How did we lose to them? Because they didn't make the playoffs. I still don't think New England's going to make the playoffs, but they're going to be a team that sinks others because they're just going to play really remedial, hard-nosed football that you're either going to show up today and you're going to engage in this dogfight, or you're going to lose because you didn't want to engage in the dogfight. You can win. You can win in a dogfight with New England. But if you really don't want to be out there and you don't want to get punched in the mouth, I think New England's going to win that game.
Well, they should be encouraged, because one thing they felt they had going for them in the preseason was they were going to stop people. And I think they do have some good pieces on defense. I think it's critical for them to keep Brissett upright because he can get out of trouble. They just have nobody to throw to on the perimeter or deep downfield. And if they have to go to May, then I think they're in real trouble.
All right. So you mentioned Tui wasn't playing well. We don't know when he's going to play again. He's not going to play this week. Guys, what do we do here? If Tor and I talked about this at great length, Ryan, about how I don't want to speak for you, Tor, but I think we're like-minded. We don't like the analysts pearl clutching and lecturing Tua on whether or not he should play. When it's Antonio Pierce coming out and saying, I would tell him to retire, that's fine. But guys that are wired differently when they play football, that's not up for us. The early reports are he plans on still playing. If you're the Dolphins and you have Tyreek Hill and you have Jaylen Waddle and you have those backs and you're playing in Miami where you have, you know, perfect weather conditions, do you do something drastic? Is it Ryan Tannehill who's available that's played there that people have thrown around? You know, the Tom Brady thing sounds like it's just sports talk radio fodder, but he didn't get the ownership deal is not written in stone. And the Dolphins have already done this once, right, with Jay Cutler, when they had an injury quarterback and they went out and dragged a guy out of the broadcast with, granted, for far less money. But why is that just being dismissed like it's the most insane thing ever when we have Brady on record as fairly recently saying he would like to play football again?
I'll take Tua first. First of all, if I'm the Dolphins, you call Tom Brady just to make sure he says no.
Yeah.
Like the Jets did last year. You mentioned Tannehill is – that situation has become comical because obviously he has a mouthpiece in the national media who says he wants to be paid like a starter and he wants to be a starter for the rest of the year. Well, Christ almighty. I mean, there's a reason why you're unemployed. Take the opportunity. And, you know, Green Bay, Tannehill's camp should have called the Packers last week. They should have called the Dolphins by now because I think he can be a guy who can get in there and throw the ball to Hill, Waddle, hand it off, et cetera. On Tua, watching it live in person is, what were you thinking? It was a fourth down play. You had you were clearly across the marker. So you should have had some awareness of that. And if you're DeMar Hamlin, you're in no man's land because you're expecting him to slide. And, you know, DeMar didn't really even hit him. Tua hit DeMar and sort of crashed into him that way. So, you know, nobody should tell him what to do from the outside. But if you're the Dolphins, you're going to take the slow play here and say, hey, you know, if it's 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, they got to play the long game.
I saw Miami picked up Tyler Huntley, which is fine. I like that they made a quick move. It's better than sitting and twiddling your thumbs. But he could be enough. He could be just good enough to be a good stopgap for them while Tua is returning. But I don't think he fits that offense well. They need a big arm to be able to hit Hill in stride and hit Waddle in stride deep down the field. And if
Skylar Thompson's going to start though, right? He's going to be backing up him because he knows the system.
I would assume so. But it's going to be I that they drop in this without Tua, because with Tua they were still struggling. You were still having turnovers all over the place.
How about you go get Brady? I don't even understand what the problem. I mean, if Brady wants to do it, then that's what you do. And I don't care how grandiose and comic book like it sounds like. What quarterback at any age wouldn't look at those receivers and those backs in that system and say, "Oh, it's not going to snow. It's not going to rain. I can go out there and make it rain for 13 weeks or whatever it is, and then go pay Tannehill. Tannehill has won playoff games. Tannehill can throw the ball to AJ Brown. Tannehill's exposed when they have no weapons and they have a vanilla scheme and their defense erodes. Like, he's not a bad quarterback. So yeah, if I'm the Dolphins, I don't go down with, we'll go with the backup and cross our fingers if this guy can medically clear to come out and play football again. They've got too much to lose.
Yeah, I think it will be Tannehill. You know, they go to Seattle this week. You know, they're going to be underdogs to win to win that game. So now you're 1-2 coming back home. So Tannehill makes the most sense if you want a veteran who can manage the game, throw it downfield, get it to his playmakers. If they don't go that route, this is going to be a week-to-week thing. They're going to look at other quarterbacks. They're going to sign guys off practice squads. You know, they released Mike White after camp. He's here in Buffalo in the practice squad. So, you know, To me, the Dolphins aren't a cross-off team, but they are for really being a big contender.
Tor, would you would you call about Jimmy Garoppolo? Would you call about Joe Flacco? Like, there's some competent backups out there that have had success in the postseason that, you know, are not being used right now. I think there are some options on the table where you don't necessarily just have to settle for whatever garbage is technically available for you. I would be very aggressive if I was Miami.
I hope they call about Cousins. I pray to God they take him off my team. I'll eat the money. Well, I'll happily eat the money.
So wait a minute. You're 1 week in. They're playing in scant hours, and you're already – the Cousins experiment is over for Young Gigantor.
It's been a tough afternoon already, just watching the minutes just tick tock before national embarrassments. Before can't handle it. I can't handle this team, man.
Well, then they're on prime time next week, too.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be back-to-back weeks where my phone, all the jerks in my phone decide, hey, it's time to mess with Sean.
You just gave your Christian name out. I can tell you're befuddled. Jesus Christ. It's like the Ultimate Warrior coming down. It's like Hulk Hogan coming down and saying, you know what, something, brother? Terry had a great fish lunch today when he went out to his It wouldn't happen. Tar, do you think that? Do you think maybe he just needs a couple of weeks to warm them old bones back up because he went through a devastating injury? You really think Kirk Cousins can't go through his progressions and throw to all those fucking weapons they have by the middle of his season?
When you see him throw a pick six in the first quarter tonight, you'll see where my pain is coming from. But I'm hoping he does. I'm hoping that I get the good side of Kirk Cousins before the Atlanta rot starts eating away at me. I think that if I can see some goodness out of him, I will be a true believer again. But I got way too optimistic. I got way too optimistic before the year, and that was my own fault.
I've never heard you be optimistic about anything other than the likelihood you're going to walk to a convenience store, buy malt liquor and burritos. That's the only thing I've heard you optimistic about.
I think this is going to be an empty calories night for Kirk Cousins. They're going to get behind. They're going to start throwing it around. Oh, great. Step forward, 24 out of 35 for whatever. And, the hope is that if you're a Falcons person, if specifically if you're the owner who is behind the Cousins thing, is that it's rust and not decay at age 35.
Right.
And tonight, and then going against Spags and the Chiefs next Sunday night, that these are going to be two pretty good, litmus tests.
They need to knock the rust off this evening, I think. And unfortunately, that's why all of us with common sense, when they drafted Penix, it's regardless of whether or not you think Penix is going to be a starter, when you draft a guy that's his age and Kirk goes out there coming off a massive injury and struggles, that's going to be the entire narrative. And that voice only gets louder every time he goes out there. And they scored 10 last week, Tor?
10 points, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough. See,
I just, well, I've been a little more disappointed in Bijan Robinson than I thought I was going to be, because he should be doing what James Cook is doing, where if we need someone to take over a game and score three touchdowns, let's go to the bell cow running back and James Cook took over in that Thursday night game. Bijan Robinson tonight, I don't think there's faith from the Atlanta fans that he is going to be a guy that goes for two touchdowns, three touchdowns, long explosive plays that gets the offense moving. Right now, he just still feels like a piece.
Let me ask you something, Ryan. Who is the more underrated running back in the National Football League right now? James Cook coming off his three touchdown evening, or James Conner coming off a buck 22, a touchdown, and just sledgehammering the Los Angeles Rams? So I think I picked them to be in the NFC Championship game. Those guys, you mentioned Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson gets infinitely more run than either one of those two backs. And I feel like both of those backs are more consistent than he is.
Yeah, I mean, James Cook was a top 10 running back carries and yards last year. He only had two touchdowns because Josh Allen was their short yardage, push. But I think you got to give your starting running back some sugar at the goal line. You got to let him score some touchdowns for taking all that pounding elsewhere in the field. James Conner has been at this a long time. I think he was appreciated in Pittsburgh. I think he's been a properly rated player. But he's off to a good start as well.
Can we talk a little bit, since the Cardinals came up organically, about the fact that Kyler Murray is the MVP of the league right now, perfect quarterback rating in that league. And he responded in a way, this is I feel like this is hours after he came out and said, I'm not in charge of the offense, basically. I can't throw the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. He made those boob-tastic comments that I didn't understand. And then the coach comes out after the game. Help me, boys. Why do they keep trying to say, like, we're not going to try to get our first-round pick the ball? Oh, that's just the way the system goes. No, no, no. Feed your best player, and I assure you nobody will be mad at you for it. If it was a running back, it wouldn't even be a question. It was an unbelievable performance by the Cardinals. Credit to them, and they really look scary out there. But I have no idea what's going on with the way they're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. in the desert right now.
It's odd. Kyler Murray, the only way, he feels like just a flow state player to me, where if he's in that zone, he's unstoppable. And he was throwing some of the passes yesterday. I couldn't believe the player I was watching. He was putting the balls in perfect position. Chris Collinsworth, that's what a quarterback throwing the ball perfectly looks like. Not Caleb Williams. Oh, he made an ass of himself on Sunday Night Football last night.
Caleb Williams guy, I just really like what he's doing.
Yeah. Hey, how about you show some love to CJ Stroud? God, he's just trying to do too much. But on the Kyler Murray point, when he's locked in, it's impressive. And I saw him locked in yesterday. When he's not locked in, then it's the Kyler Murray that we see that, you know, tanks the season. Kyler Murray that we see throws the weird, goofy picks. But that was an impressive performance from him throwing the ball.
3 touchdowns, no turnovers, and he became only the second player in NFL history with 250 passing yards, 50 rushing yards, and a perfect quarterback rating in a game. And it was Matthew Berry was the guy that came out and said this was his sink or swim player of the year. He said this is going to be Kyler's year. It has to be. If he wants to get, you know, this contract, if they want to go to the next level, there's a lot of questions about him. And he's a fucking weirdo. Like, Caleb Williams is when you have to pay the weirdo tax if you're going to be a weirdo. And that means you have to be good because you're not going to be able to put up with the bullshit. Caleb Williams has to pay the weirdo tax. Jay Cutler, Phillip Rivers, like, you got to be real good because you're a weird fucking guy. And Kyler's got that all over him.
Well, just real quick on the Cardinals, having seen them in week one, is the Bills gave extra attention to Harrison. First target dropped. Then he had one catch. So obviously it was a course correction during the week. Got to get the kid more involved. That will help McBride on the medium to, you know, intermediate type things and quick screens because you're taking attention away. I mean, I think you mentioned with Harrison, just feed it to him. Malik Nabers yesterday, 18 targets, 10 catches. You know, if you have a stud, use them.
Yeah. All right. Let's piss on the Cowboys. Very exciting. Very exciting. They get blowed out. Tor called it a buzzsaw. There's games like this. You run into a team at the wrong time, they're going to blow you out. And there's really not, I think if I'm the Cowboys, I might crumble up that film and throw it away and just be like, all right, let's get ready. But here's what I can say about them. They're too one-dimensional. It's CeeDee Lamb. I have no faith in the rushing attack right now. I still don't think Mike McCarthy is going to get you anywhere in a big game situation. I think it's the same old Cowboys, only they are going to be more predictable because Brandon Cook, he shouldn't be in the situation that he's in right now in that offense. Cowboys fans were wringing their hands. I still think they've got a really good chance to win the division. I still think that if I had to pick a team in the NFC East, I would pick the Eagles wilting down the stretch. But it was definitely entertaining to watch them lose at home when they didn't lose at home at all last year. Now, the past two times they've played in that building, they are getting blown the fuck out by a team that looks like they're playing at a different speed than Dallas was in Green Bay and New Orleans. So that part of it was very entertaining.
It feels like the Cowboys, if their defense has an average day, then they are on pace to lose a game. Because the offense, it's you said, it's CeeDee Lamb. It's the running attack, the committee of old and young but uninspired, it's not going to work. It's not going to be the rallying cry. It's okay. How many times is the defense going to force turnovers? How many picks are we going to get? Are we going to get a defensive touchdown? Great. If the defense shows up, great. Then you'll win that game. If they don't, or if they're playing average, then you're relying on Dak and CeeDee Lamb to win the ball game. And that's not enough in this league.
Well, they definitely got issues at running back. I mean, they moved on from Elliott a couple of years ago, brought him back. They let Pollard go to Tennessee. They just are not going to pay the running backs after they give Zeke all that money. Dak, that's not his game. Lamb with the holdout, he's probably still working in the shape. But and they got Baltimore coming in on Sunday. That's the Burkhardt Brady game at 4:25. Not a must win for the Cowboys. I think it is for the Ravens. So I think Baltimore wins that game on Sunday.
How much different would this team look, boys? I'm not talking about paying Josh Jacobs or Christian McCaffrey money, but what if Zach Moss or Aaron Jones? Like, I mean, there were backs available that could make an impact that they could have brought in. And I think their offense would be more dynamic if they would have done that this offseason.
Certainly. I'm seeing what Joe Mixon was doing in Houston and how much of a boost he's provided that team when they moved on from Devin Singletary. They moved on from backs that aren't working in the system. They found a guy that said, hey, we're going to give you the ball. You need to run downhill. And he's been doing it, and he's been effective. And being a team without a running back that is playing at that level, it's got to be frustrating. Sure. Seeing that your team just didn't address the issue.
Well, so many were available too. Go ahead, Ryan. Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, look at all the running backs that changed teams. I mean, Henry was probably too much for them, but Devin Singletary's at 5 yards a carry. Josh Jacobs went to Green Bay. And then Dallas was like, we're okay. You know, we got to figure it out. We won the division. And to me, there's a reason you see, especially this offseason in the camp and now, you see why Cowboys haven't made an NFC title game in 30 years. Is they think they have it fit. They think they got the code cracked. And, they can't lean on Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. There has to be more around them than those three guys having to do everything.
But Ryan, Micah Parsons is such a good athlete. They could play him at safety and tight end and running back. He could be the guy. I'm so sick of him too.
Remember when Mike Zimmer came and he said something like, Mike Zimmer needs to come speak to me. I'm not going to go speak to him because he's never had a player like me before. All right, motherfucker. The other thing I think happened in the offseason was everyone thought they were firing the head coach. Everyone thought they were bringing in Derrick Henry. Everyone thought they were doing all this crazy. And I think Jerry Jones is just stubborn enough to be like, I'm not going to do it. I don't have to do anything. It's my team. I'm the GM. I'll do whatever I want. I think he's petty. I think that he can be myopic. And I think that because the entire narrative was there's got to be this huge uproar after they get blown out by the Green Bay Packers, he just said, piss on that. I'm not going to do it. And because of that, there was a bunch of opportunities for them to get better, and they didn't. Monty, thank you so much for the $9.99 Super Chat. Why does Tua not wear the new helmet cover? Shouldn't someone have put that in his contract? I know it looks silly, but he needs it. I would be shocked, boys. I don't have any information on this, but I would be shocked if we see him on the football field again if he's not wearing the collision cap or whatever it's called, the pillow turban.
It feels like the next move for the guardian cap to be, here's the first starting quarterback rocking one, and here's the benefits of it, here's the enhancements, here's the protection capability. As much as I don't like the look of it, if it's Tua, it seems like a clear sense decision. If you have an ability to add an extra layer of protection, and you obviously can't protect yourself because you're just making wrong decisions, we're going to have to help you out and put you in the bubble wrap.
Monty, thank you so much for the super chat, buddy. You know what this is going to be weird, boys, is if this is taken out of Tua's hands and he can't get cleared to play, because then you're talking about, what have they paid, $43 million of the salary already. There's $124 million left, and if he has to retire because he can't get cleared, I believe the Dolphins are on the hook for all of that. Can you imagine? Like, we've been talking about the Browns and Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson with Denver. Can you imagine if that's the way Tua's career ends and they're still on the hook with paying that guy that can't even help them anymore? It'll be an unbelievable set of circumstances.
And I think what they would do is just, I mean, they would come to an agreement. And my guess is their contract's insured. And you would just say, don't announce your retirement, but you're going on IR for next year.
Sure.
Because we're entering uncharted territory here with this kind of money and this kind of injury history. So he was a guy, I was in the minority this summer. I would not have extended him. I would have let have him play it out for 1 year. But they said, well, he's so popular in the locker room. Who cares? So the Dolphins got themselves into this mess money wise, this is a tough one for them.
Why doesn't, who brought it up, Slider brought it up in the chat, Brian Cox neck roll? What happened to the neck roll in the NFL? Nothing made me happier than, remember Christian Okoye's neck roll, like basically went up over the top of his helmet? It would make me so happy if we had a quarterback with a neck roll in this league.
There's still a good amount of college players that have the cowboy collar or the neck roll. The Georgia Tech Week Zero linebacker, he got so much run because he was a big jacked linebacker and he had a stiff neck and a big neck roll. Everyone loved it. It's a good look.
I have neck rolls, but they're slightly different than that. All right, we should talk about this before we get out of here. The amount of Commandos fans, maybe I'm not being fair, but to go into the red zone five times, zero touchdowns. Also, Jaden Daniels is dragged off the field because he's out there not protecting his body. Just because the Giants are the most inept franchise that we've ever seen, and they made history by scoring three touchdowns, allowing zero, and losing. Were there positives, boys, for Washington yesterday that maybe I missed? I guess Jaden Daniels wasn't knocked out for the season, and yes, it is a W, but does beating that Giants team that way make them a better team?
I mean, it's a division win.
Yeah, but to what end?
Well, I think Brian Robinson would be encouraging. Okay, you run it for 215 yards. He averages 7.8 a carry. Jeez, I didn't know it was that much. I mean, if you're a Nanders fan, the positive is that you found a way, and this is an organization that hasn't found a way. So, I would be concerned about Daniels' health moving forward. They had a little bit of a bounce back, and I guess I'll wrap it up by saying, you took advantage of the fact that Giants had a kicker who was listed as questionable on Saturday. You had a kicker on the practice squad, but don't call him up as insurance to be the active roster. And you know, it would have been a worse loss than it is a better win, but at least you won.
The Commanders would have loved to have lost this game. Ryan, I like that you brought up, which I haven't heard said about this team, they found a way to win.
Yeah.
They find a way to lose this game historically. The positives is the running back room. It's got to be Robinson Jr. and Eckler getting involved. He had a nice big long catch. He's shown a little more life than I thought he would so far, which is starting to look like a good signing, bringing a veteran running back that's very positive, good attitude locker room guy that can still make plays. So I think it's if I'm giving game balls out, it's going to those two guys.
I think that the positives are, A, we talked about it yesterday in our halftime show tour, the opening drive from Jaden Daniels where they controlled everything. Everything was scripted. They moved the football. He got all of his weapons involved. He used his athleticism to avoid a monster sack. Like, that was good. And losing really bad games to really bad teams is backbreaking. And Ryan, I know you know what I'm talking about. I did a lot of interviews with a lot of Redskins players when they would piss down the side of their leg against a bad divisional opponent, and just the doom and the gloom, it gets very heavy. And we're early in the season, and losing that game would have just been draft positioning or whatever you want to say, just for the psyche of we're men working towards a common goal, would have been devastating. So that alone right there, the psyche and the mental health of everybody in that locker room, I think that was a useful win.
Yeah, they go at Cincinnati on Monday night, at Arizona in a short week next too. So that, yikes, you know, that increases the importance of at least getting this one yesterday.
Certainly does. Boys, fantastic. Thank you so much for making the time today. Tor, I'm going to see you on Thursday with Sean Salisbury, of course. Ryan, you're at Ryan O'Halloran on X, and of course the Buffalo News. Anything else going on with you?
Nope, Buffalo News, and yeah, that's it.
Would you prefer a foot short hot dog or a foot long hot dog? Which would you prefer, Ryan?
Well, let's go foot long.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long. Nice toss.
Thanks for listening to Both Types of Sports. Please leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you are listening to the show. And don't be afraid to share the show with a friend. We'll be right back.